Now, it's sometimes said that the Hinayana, or little way, is so called because it's addressed to a small number of people, even to an elite. Whereas the Mahayana, it's said, the great way, it is said, is addressed to a large number of people, if not to the masses. The first, the Hinayana, so it is claimed, is meant for those who are prepared to make an effort to help themselves. Whereas the second, the Mahayana, it is claimed, is intended for those who want everything to be done for them by the Bodhisattvas. But once again, it must be observed that the distinction is much too crude and even misleading. As we've seen on previous occasions, Buddhism is a universal religion. It's not addressed to any particular group or community. It's addressed potentially to each and every individual human being as an individual. And the Hinayana and the Mahayana are both forms of Buddhism. They're both stages in the development of Buddhism. And both, therefore, are universal. Both are addressed to all individuals, both the Hinayana and the Mahayana. So we cannot distinguish between them in this respect. At the same time, there is a difference. So what is this difference? Perhaps I can make it clear with the help of a simile, not to say a parable. Let's suppose that there is a great famine somewhere. The sort of terrible famine that you still get, even now, sometimes, in India. There's no food. Everybody is starving. Everybody is gaunt, famished, skeleton-like, and there's terrible suffering. Now, in a certain town, in the country where this famine has occurred, there happen to be two men who have an enormous quantity of grain, quite enough to feed all the people. One of the men is old, the other is young. Now what does the old man do? He puts up a notice outside his front door. And the notice reads, "Whoever comes will be given food." But after that statement there follows a long list of conditions and rules. If people want food, they must come at a certain time, at a certain hour of the day, on the very minute. And they must bring with them receptacles of a certain shape and a certain size. And they must hold these receptacles in a certain way. And they must ask the old man for food in certain set phrases. In fact, in an archaic language. And so on. There are all these rules, all these conditions. Now, not many people see the notice because not many people happen to pass that way. But some of those who do see it, they come for food and they get food. But others don't come. They may see the notice, but they're rather put off by the long list of rules. And they say that if the food is only available under those conditions, on those terms, then they'd rather go without. It seems, so they think, less troublesome to starve. And the old man is perhaps asked about those rules, and he says, "Well, that's how it was in my grandfather's time, whenever there was a famine, and what was good enough for him is certainly good enough for me. Who am I to change things?" And he further says that if people really want food, they'll observe any number of rules in order to get it. If they won't observe the rules, it means they just aren't really hungry enough. So this is what the old man says and does. Now what about the young man? What does he do? The young man takes a great sack of grain on his back. And he goes from door to door distributing the grain. And when one sack becomes empty, he rushes back home and he gets another one. And in this way, he distributes a great deal of grain all over the town. He gives the grain away to whoever asks. And he's so keen on getting the grain to the people that he doesn't mind going into the poorest and the dirtiest and the darkest of hovels. He doesn't even mind going into places where respectable people don't usually venture. Because there's only one idea in his mind. And the idea is that everybody must be fed. Nobody should be allowed to starve. Of course, quite a lot of people find fault with the young man. They say he's a busybody. They say he takes too much on himself. And some even say he's interfering with the law of karma. Again, others say that quite a lot of grain is being wasted because some people take more than they really need. But the young man doesn't care. He says, never mind, it's better that some of the grain should be wasted than that anybody should starve to death. We can even continue our parable a little further. The young man happens to pass the house of the old man. The old man is sitting peacefully beside the door of his house, smoking his pipe. Because it isn't yet time to distribute grain. And the old man says to the young man, as the young man passes by, you look tired. Why don't you take it easy? But the young man replies, but there are lots of people who still haven't been fed. But the old man isn't very impressed by that, and he says, well, let them come to you. Why should you go dashing off to them? And the young man says, but the position is that they're too weak to come to me. They can't even walk. I've got to go to them, otherwise they will die. So the old man says, that's too bad. They should have come to you earlier when they were stronger. If they didn't think ahead, well, that's their responsibility. Why should you bother? If they die, it's not your fault. But the young man doesn't listen. He already is on his way home for another sack. So the old man rises, he pins another notice beside the first one. And the second notice reads, rules for reading the rules.